Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
All right, everybody, we're starting. I'm sorry if you have to pee, but you can't.
Cease your piss. Hold your bladder. Now is not the time.
Cease.
Pee, 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 pee. If I could make water noises without destroying everything, I would. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So how is everybody?
We don't care, let's be honest.
We don't. Really don't, and you can't answer us, so it's really dumb that I ask you all the time, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, we still don't care.
I really don't. I'm glad you're out there. I've seen you.
We're about pleasantries, but we don't mean them.
We were raised well.
Yes.
Not right, but well.
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
The facade.
The facade is strong.
That's right.
I will lie to your face. Max, would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Man.
It's tough. I mean,
I got a rant to do, so I'll go first and I'll put the rant in there and then I'll let you go. How about that?
That's fine.
Okay.
I like rants.
Not what you think.
It's not what you think.
I'm being leered at.
Yeah.
2020.
I remember that year.
Oh, I wish I didn't.
Yeah, I know.
Watch Scoob.
Oh.
Because it's got an
excellent... We gotta get out of here, Scoob.
That's right.
Nice.
I watched it on the July of 2020.
The July, girl.
1 hour, don't you lie about it, 1 hour, 34 minutes. It is a family animated film directed by Tony Cervone.
Okay.
Possibly Cervone. I don't know. I think it's better if it's Tony Cervone. I think it's better.
I think that's good. I mean, honestly, only he knows.
And if you're welcome to change it, Tony. If it's Cervone, you're like, you know, I've been fucking up for all these years because like, Tony Cervone.
I don't think he cares. I think
who
he's
said
just like,
Tony Cervone.
You pronounce my name whatever you want. You can call me Clyde. I don't care. I'm going to answer to it and we're going to do business.
Absolutely.
That's how Tony roll.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Starring Frank Welker.
Oh, man. Megatron.
So great.
Oh, Megatron. He's been Fred forever.
Oh, my God.
He's always been Fred.
But he's not in this.
What?
That's right. He's Scooby.
What?
But Fred is voiced by Zac Efron.
Okay, but why?
I don't know.
Sad.
Amanda Seyfried voices Daphne.
Okay, but okay.
I know.
Lip quivering.
I know. It's brutal. IMDb summary. Scooby and the gang face their most challenging mystery ever. A plot to unleash the ghost dog Cerberus upon the entire world.
Ghost dog. Forrest Whitaker.
My thoughts on this movie. It is definitely a loving nod to Hanna-Barbera as a company. Okay. There's all kinds of references to all different sorts of characters from this. The antagonist in this film is a Hanna-Barbera character. I won't spoil it for those of you who are not aware of it, but it is all over the place. Like Tim mentioned before we started, Blue Falcon is in this.
I love Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt.
My favorite appearance, and I'll spoil this, is a minor one, but Tracy Morgan plays Captain Caveman.
Oh my God, how perfect.
It's so good.
That's good.
But this movie does not feel like a Scooby-Doo film in any way to me at all, because it's just an adventure movie. They hook up with Blue Falcon very early, and they're trying to thwart a particular antagonist. And I just, like, what? Why? Like, we put Scooby-Doo forward to try to, I guess, maybe see if there's interest in, like, a Hanna-Barbera universe or something. Like, it just felt so hollow to me and so kind of like salesy.
Sure.
That any, and like the Scooby, like I didn't care about any of the Scooby-Doo stuff almost at all. It was boring. It was really cliched. It was like, oh my God, I just don't care. Like this doesn't feel like Scooby-Doo at all. I want to see them get into shenanigans and old men in masks.
Yeah.
Trying to ward them away from their like weird pot grove farm thing that they have. I don't want to see Blue Falcon and all of them going on adventures in theme parks. Just wasn't digging it.
Interesting. Well, a lot of these Scooby-Doo movies for the past decade or so have been very different. They don't feel like that classic formula.
Right.
And I'm torn on it because it's like, on one hand, yeah, they did the same thing for so many years. But on the other hand, when they tried something new, I don't want to just crap all over it. Like, there's been movies where they fight actual demons and stuff.
Right.
And I mean, they met Kiss. My nephews love Kiss just because of that.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not going to explain to them what a love gun is. You do that. I'm not doing it.
It's a penis, kids.
Oh, sorry, kids. Kids, why are you listening to this?
Yeah, what did you do?
Jeez, are you in trouble?
Do you probably.
Need help?
Yeah, probably.
If it's on in the background, you shouldn't be listening to this.
I just was let down by all of that. Even, like, I remember, like, Scooby-Doo Zombie Island, I thought was awesome. And that was real zombies, and they were trying to, the mystery was what was causing it. There's no real mystery here.
Right.
The antagonist is dropped right away. We know who it is, and it's a, like, a dun-dun-dun Hanna-Barbera send-up. And it's, like, it's cool, and it's a character I enjoy immensely from the Hanna-Barbera ilk. But I just... Don't tote this as a Scooby-Doo film when really that's a thin veneer to hide the fact that we want to do a Hanna-Barbera thing and see how far we can push that.
Interesting.
So it really rubbed me the wrong way personally.
Interesting. This has been on my to watch list for a while just because I love Blue Falcon and Dynamite.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool. And Mark Wahlberg's Blue Falcon, which I think is awesome. Yeah, it's really cool. A good fit.
It's Dynamite. I like how I ask you the whole cast. Like, you should know.
Oh,
you
my God. Know it, I should know it. And it's somebody of note. Dang. I feel like it's somebody from Community for some reason. Man. It's in my head.
That sounds right.
I'll look it up while you're looking at your movie.
All of those people would be great.
I'll interject in like 3 minutes with who Dynamite is.
When's our Community podcast coming out?
Oh, my God.
I've got 5 more episodes and I'm done.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We got to talk about that off mic.
Oh, love Community.
Me too. IMDb, 5.7 out of 10. So pretty low for IMDb.
Yeah, it is.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 148 critics. I don't know why critics review family films. They never like them.
That's true.
47%.
That's rough.
Audience, over 1,000. All right, so here's... You hear that noise?
Yeah.
That's me pushing up the soapbox.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
IMDb started doing a new thing.
Oh, no.
I don't know when the last time you've jumped on IMDb is to look at these movies, but instead of giving you the number of people who reviewed it for audience, they just put a plus sign
right
after the biggest number. So now it's 1,000 plus.
Yeah, I've noticed this.
What the fuck? I like reporting my weird, obscure numbers that I often misread. So 54% from 1,000 plus.
Plus.
How many plus? 1,001? I don't know.
This is probably my fault because I'm always like, you know, so many odd people.
Yeah.
They're like, they don't even care. Over at Tapes and Scales.
That's right. Because we tell them what to do.
Well, Cambodia told them what we did.
That's right.
Thank you, Cambodia.
Absolutely. 54% from them. I am coming in a touch lower than everybody for a change at a 4 out of 10 for Scoob.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, it wasn't what you wanted.
No.
I mean, were you after the classic formula where it's like, hey, it's always the first guy they meet? Or were you after, like, you know,
just
something like Zombie Island?
An approximate mystery. Just something that I had to guess about. There was no mystery to it. Just everything was easily... There was nothing I had to grok. There was nothing, like, fun. It was just an adventure movie. And I don't need Scooby-Doo for that. Like, if it was a Blue Falcon movie... The problem is, if you said there was a Blue Falcon movie...
This would have been great.
It would have been great, but there would have been 30 people who were interested in it. You say it's a Scooby-Doo movie, you're going to get a lot larger of a pull for what is ostensibly... And Blue Falcon has a cool character arc in it.
Right.
Like, it's well-written in that regard. And there's nothing really problematic other than it's just like, don't hide this behind the fact it's a Scooby-Doo movie when it's clearly not at all.
Maybe we'll get the real version when Zack Snyder releases his Blue Falcon movie.
That would be awesome.
It might.
I'd be super excited for that.
Well, time for me to talk about a movie. My first movie is from 1996. It's called Raven.
Ooh.
It's not about a raven at all.
I see.
It's from... I watched this December 4th of 2020. It's an hour 33. Your genre, action.
Action, baby. So I found out who Dynamite is.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Jeong.
Oh, Ken Jeong. Great.
So I was right about Community.
Yeah, he's like got the craziest arc ever on Community.
But oh, my God.
We'll save that for the Community podcast that will never start, but we will 10 years from now.
Yeah, you never know. Ken Jeong, he is awesome.
Ken Jeong, great.
Yeah, he is.
So this movie, though, Raven, it's directed by Russell Solberg, starring Burt Reynolds,
Matt Battaglia,
and Krista Allen.
Hmm.
I watched it because it's Burt Reynolds shooting stuff.
I love Burt Reynolds.
And on the movie poster for it, it's him shirtless with like bullets wrapped around him, just looking like, I'm going to blow some shit up.
Did he have more facial hair or chest hair in the poster?
I'm leaning towards chest hair, and I mean, he had a good mustache.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, I don't remember him doing a lot of movies like this.
Right.
Like, he was always kind of the good guy, kind of the bad guy, kind of a jerk, but like, he was snarky. He was, you know, he had charisma. Charisma out the wazoo.
Yep.
Your summary from IMDb, a notorious criminal is hunted down by the elite Raven Special Forces team when things go wrong on a mission to capture stolen military hardware.
Hmm.
Surprise fact. Solberg is better known for stunt work. He worked on Ghost Protocol and They Live.
Oh, nice.
So he tried directing it one time.
Sure. Right. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Good on you, buddy.
Sure. My bullet points. Burt Reynolds is Raven, the old timer who gives no fucks and will murk anyone in his way. I do like his performance. He's kind of just such an asshole, but it's just like, yeah, I gotta murder a bunch of people, gonna do it. And like, then he does it. And you're just like, wow, he's just so committed to it. And I guess because it's like 80s, 90s, he can get away with it, technologically speaking. A device of mass destruction goes missing. Raven and his crew thought to be dead by the government. Raven and one soldier are left alive. They don't get along and they try to kill each other. They end up splitting the two pieces of the device.
Interesting.
Device is rumored to be around in two pieces. Starts lots of shooting. Reynolds is a dick, which is fun since he isn't usually the bad guy. He's
right.
Like an anti-hero good guy character most of the time.
Agreed.
Has moments, but also has very wooden acting. Mm. Aside from Reynolds, it's a little meh. And really, only,
I think the problem is when you have a stunt person and stunt coordinator as your director, they're looking at, on a movie like this, feels like they're going to be looking much more at the camera work and the stunt work within the set pieces, not so much at what the performances are being given by the actors.
I agree with you. I'm curious. I didn't look this up, but I would love to see how many stunt things he'd worked on prior to this.
Yeah.
Because this is 96. I mean, Ghost Protocol is what, like 2000?
A little later, yeah.
Whatever.
I think, yeah, 2010 plus, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's interesting. It's cool that he stayed in the business and hung around and then worked on some really good movies.
Right.
Or, you know, some better known movies.
Some higher profile, at least, yeah. Right?
I mean, they live great.
Oh, my God. But the stunt work in that fight scene, oh, my God.
Hey, I'm not going to spoil it, but that's coming up on a Scowl's Top 4 sometime soon.
God damn it, I love that movie.
I'll spoil it. So Cliff was like, hey, what's your favorite live-action fight scene? I go, oh, it's not even a question. It's from They Live. It's him and Keith David.
That fight scene is so good. So good.
Speaking of Community, Keith David.
Oh, my God. That fight scene is so good. I love that. When he tries to punch him in the balls and he catches his hand. You dirty motherfucker.
It feels like a real fight because they stop and start it so many times.
Oh, yeah. They like laugh at each other. They're
tired. They're pain. We'll talk about that some other day.
God damn it.
We haven't done They Live on here, have we?
No, we have not.
But we've watched it right before we started the podcast.
Yes,
that's what
we did.
It was.
That movie's so good.
That's when my daughter beat you up out of the chair.
That's right.
Good times.
Yep.
This is just for 80s action movie holdouts, really. Or Burt Reynolds fans. If you want to see Burt Reynolds do an okay performance in a not that great movie.
Get in there, completist.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of these actors got better in time. It's just not in this movie. This movie was not their shining moment. So.
And again,
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, again, you have a director who's looking at one aspect of an entire film.
Right.
It is what it is.
And there was some really good camera work. I did think it had really cool angles, and maybe that plays into his career later.
Right.
It's interesting. So IMDb gave this a 4.8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Critics, I couldn't find a critic score for it. Mm. The audience did, though. 1,500 some odd people, 6%.
You know, if they would just rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts, we could get on there and be the first critics to review this film.
That's right. And you know what that score would be?
What would it be?
It'd be a 5.5.
Damn. Much higher than 6.
Much higher. Much, much higher. The movie is not that bad. It's just not for everybody. And I think if you digest movies on the regular like we do, you see a lot of what they were going for, even if they have some misses. Like, this has a lot of heart, this movie.
Nice.
But it's a bad movie.
Fair.
What you got, fool?
2006. Hostel.
Ooh, okay.
Watch this in the July 2020.
Good old July.
1 hour and 35 minutes.
Dang.
It is a horror / torture porn film directed by the Eli Roth.
I like all three of those things, but maybe not together. I don't know.
Starring Jay Hernandez. Oh my goodness. A lot of Eastern European names. Barbara Nedjelakova. And Derek Richardson.
There you go.
Coming in the quick, Derek.
Thanks,
appreciate
Derek.
You, buddy. IMDb summary. 3 backpackers head to a Slovak city that promises to meet their hedonistic desires with no idea of the hell that awaits them.
Bum, bum, bum.
So basically, my thoughts on this movie is this film has one real goal in mind, and that is to really sicken the audience.
Sure.
I know Roth is a huge, huge fan. He's like a horror history aficionado. He has a near encyclopedic knowledge of a lot of horror, in particular the 70s and 80s giallo stuff,
okay,
which is Italian. Giallo means yellow. All the yellow covered books were like the murder mystery, sleazy, nasty, trashy, kind of like those movies, Bird with the Crystal Plumage, a lot of the Argento stuff. Mm-hmm. Torso, things like that are all the giallo movies. If you haven't checked out the giallo genre, really an interesting one to see.
You're gonna love it or hate it.
Yes, 100%. Very polarizing. It's a great way to put it. And he definitely is on the fandom side of this. And I think he goes into this with very much a torso mindset. Normally, this film wouldn't be enough to kind of hold up and be the movie it is, but everybody knows the name. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Hostel, and they're like, oh, that's the gross movie. It's the wet, it's the gross, it's the nasty kind of, you know what I mean? You can hear the movie, you can smell the movie. It's nasty. But he does a really good job of making somewhat engaging characters in this film. Like, you kind of love and hate them the same way you kind of love and hate people. You hear a guy telling a story, maybe somebody you went to high school with. You stop and you listen, like, hey, what's going on? And they tell you this story, like, you don't really care about, but you kind of care about. That's how these characters feel to me.
Sure.
Where it's just like, yeah, why am I listening to this asshole? I'll see what they have to say. It's like, oh, fuck, really? Like, in the 15-20 minutes in the story, like, oh, shit. And they just keep going and going. It gets worse and worse and worse. So it is kind of like a descent into hell in that way. It's pretty well handled, and you can tell it's kind of a love letter to this style and a send up to that. But without this, we wouldn't get later movies like the later Hostels. We had like Saw and this kind of run in tandem as kind of the forerunners of the torture porn subgenre.
Yeah,
we get kind of the most infamous, which is like the Serbian film, eventually, because this movie existed, Martyrs, these like really hard to watch. The horror comes from how hard the moments are to watch.
Right.
But I think that Roth did a good enough job with this to kind of create a subgenre. Like, torture porn wouldn't exist without Eli Roth. So I think that it's a good and bad thing, depending on where you fall on the gore spectrum.
Right.
But it's overall kind of a one-trick pony. You're not going to get much more than like some characters that are, you kind of want them to die, but you kind of feel bad that they're dying kind of feeling. It's not bad, but it's not anything other than like you're going to watch somebody's intestines get cauterized or whatever you want to see. Yeah. Yeah. So IMDb, 5.9 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 110 critics reviewed this, which surprised me.
Yep.
61%.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Audience, 250,000 plus, gave this 53%.
That doesn't surprise me.
In the middle, 6 out of 10.
There you go, yeah. I like the audience score is about what I thought, because you're going to have so many people that are like, this is advertised to be X, and it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And you're going to have so many people going in like, oh God, what am I watching?
What the hell is this? Yeah.
I don't care what it's advertised as, it's not for me.
No, not at all.
And it is interesting, and like you said, to have it kind of start this new wave of just graphic horror. You know, before that you had like a lot of the rape revenge stuff, and it's like, I spit on your grave. I can't sell that to somebody nowadays.
It's hard to go in and say, why should I watch I Spit on Your Grave? Well, it's got the longest continuous rape sequence of any movie in film history.
Right.
But it did start, rape and revenge became a thing largely because of I Spit on Your Grave.
I mean, it's a great plot device in a way. And that movie, if you watch it, it's not that terrible.
No.
But it's a hard movie to watch.
And his point was to do that. But correct. Then the problem is, and Ross, I think, was kind of this, let's get this, but then you get the watered down versions, and then soon you get beyond that to where it's just people doing it because it makes money.
Right.
And it's like, oh, cool, I get to have this woman be brutalized, and I get to film it? Great. And then I get to film her murdering a bunch of people? Also great. It's like, no, you
missed the mark.
Way missed the point of the whole thing.
Absolutely. Well, I guess it's time for me to tell you about another movie.
I love it when you do that.
I'm going to tell you about a horror movie.
Oh, I love that even more.
From 2016, Carousel. It's time for Carousel, buddy.
I see. We talked about this before this all happened.
Mm-hmm. December 7th. I was doing good in December, rocking out some movies. In Hour 10, again, horror, directed by Steve Rudzinski, starring Steve Rimpici, which I think is Steve Rudzinski, just
probably
his real name. Say Marie and Haley Madison.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those bad movies when you see it and you're just like, I gotta see it. This is killer sofa material kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Here's your summary.
Mm-hmm.
Duke, a carousel unicorn, hates his job.
I'm playing him.
He has to let kids climb on his back and ride him for hours every day. But one kid has finally pushed him too far. Duke breaks free of his carousel hell and embarks on a bloody rampage of revenge on humanity.
Understandably so.
That is such a good, well-written description. I was not expecting that. And when I read that, I'm like, I'm watching this movie right now.
I'm willing to bet that Steve submitted that.
I'm okay with that.
And as he should. Yeah. Every filmmaker should care enough to submit their IMDb summary.
Right. Like, this is when I'm going back to Bloodsucker Jones, where I had to write the review. I'm
yes.
Like, I love that, but I shouldn't have to.
No, the filmmaker should, absolutely.
Minimally, so the filmmaker should. This movie, I turn it on. I watch this with my wife. It has a wife score.
Okay, great.
And I was like, I hope this movie is just a physical carousel unicorn, and there's no effects really, and it's just a fucking piece of wood or whatever,
yeah,
whatever they're made out of. And I got it, and it was perfect. That is exactly what it needed to be. It bridges the comedy and the horror perfectly.
Nice.
And I'm sure it saves on the budget. So, bullet points: B movie paradise. That fun bad.
Yes,
fun bad.
Fun bad.
A kid wipes a booger on a carousel horse, which was a unicorn, pushing it over the edge. When the kid wipes the booger, he literally picks his nose, wipes a booger on like its eye, and he's just like, ah, so dumb. And you hear, and the horse, you can hear his inner monologue. It is amazing.
That's great.
He's just like, this fucking kid. The unicorn never changes expressions ever.
That's great.
But he does talk.
That's awesome.
The practical effects of the kills are so much fun. I laughed almost into a groan.
Nice.
It was perfect. Like, you'll see the unicorn horn stabbing somebody in the neck and just really twisting it in there.
That's awesome.
And the blood effects, and it looks pretty good.
Nice.
An example. Oh, that's what I just said. I like it when my notes match up. It's also a parody of kids at a party getting murdered kind of stories.
Sure.
You know, it's Can't Hardly Wait with a murder.
Makes sense.
Kind of thing. A sequel has been crowdfunded recently and will start filming once it can.
Yes.
So the pandemic is stopping that from happening right now. But
yes.
I was super excited to look up more about this movie and see there's a sequel already funded. Thank you, everyone out there who knew about this before me.
Yes.
Your IMDb score. 5 out of 10. Right in the middle.
Yeah.
That's really good for a B movie, in my opinion.
I agree.
Rotten Tomato critics, there is no score. The audience, 9 of them. You want to guess it?
I'm going to go with...
It's hard, right?
46%.
67%.
Nice.
And my score is a 5.5.
Okay.
Now, if you'll recall, when I did Killer Sofa, which I was jazzed about, I said the highest score I feel a B movie, this type of B movie can get is about a 6. So a 5.5.
What we call like a micro-budget film.
Correct. Right, micro-budget, because B is not necessarily correct. My wife gave it a 6. My wife loved it.
Nice.
We laughed at it. We enjoyed the effects. The effects are awesome for this small-budget movie.
I was really happy to see this fire off. Then there's a little factoid for everybody
out there.
I have worked on effects for Steve, and I've been in one of his films. Super nice dude. Mm-hmm. Super knows what he wants. He's got a great vision and a great understanding of what he wants to get out of his films. And I think... I'm happy to see, and it seems to me, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, that Carousel's been one of his most successfully received. I know he got distribution for it, so it's been really good for him to get that out there and get his name out there. So I've been really excited to watch all this happen. I got to watch, I'm friends with him on Facebook, so I got to watch the kind of the behind the scenes of him stressing about the crowdfunding for Carousel 2, and he was just like, you know what? If you guys want it, I'll do it. Otherwise, I don't fucking care.
Nice.
It's just a really nice way to do it, where it's like, I have an idea, I think it's worth it. If y'all want to do it, I'll do it, but I'm not gonna just, you know what I mean, like dig and scrape for money to do one. And he knew what he needed, and he's efficient, and I think his eye for effects is good. He knows when to go in for those ECUs to save a little bit of money. He's got a good eye for budget filmmaking, which is really hard to get, but I mean, the dude's made, God, I think 9 or 10 plus films, including shorts and things. He's got quite a reasonable filmography under his belt.
You made me so happy because I had told you, we don't go over a lot of the movies we've seen. I just kind of look at Max's to make sure there's no overlap, so we're not like, you know, both coming in and,
right.
and not having the correct amount of movies. And when you were like, I know that guy, I was like, really? Because this movie's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so good. Please, everybody, watch it. It's almost Killer Sofa good.
Yeah.
I needed those guys to team up. That's what I need.
That'd be great, right?
Wouldn't it?
The Raul Ruzynski experience.
Steve, if you want to come on here and talk about this and promote Carousel 2 when that's going to start doing some stuff, let me know.
Please.